Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin. Bez Hashem, Shalom Bayis, Shir number 597. We're in Binyan Abayis, lesson number 10, Understanding the Yetzirah, the Evil Inclination. And we're talking about a deeper look at the term Chedva. Chedva, a certain unique form of happiness, specifically refers to spiritual pleasure of unification. And we can see from the Maral's words, this is from the Drush of Shabbos Shuvah, where it talks about the five Inuyim of Yom Kippur, corresponding to the five parts of the soul. It's overall called Neshama, but the Neshama has five parts. Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, Chaya, Yechida. These five parts correlate to the five prohibitions in Yom Kippur of the intimate union, eating and drinking, washing oneself, wearing shoes, anointing oneself. And these five activities strengthen the connection between body and soul. And on Yom Kippur, Torah wants us to transcend to the state of neshama, leaving the physical body sort of behind, like a malach. So that's why we refrain from these activities. Overall, that's the opposite of what is required to bring the soul into the guf by engaging in these five activities, l'shem shamayim. So he says, v'isitashon shamita, the prohibition of intimacy on Yom Kippur itself, is connected shem yechida, corresponds to yechida, which is the highest level of neshama. Why? And he says, because the neshama unifies and dwells with the body, needs to have unity with the body. And the greatest union of soul and body, ein achdus elai de tashon shamita. That is through tashon shamita, a unification of bodies, which is also a unification of souls, vayu labasar echad. What's Vahayu L'Basar Echad? That Achdus is when there is a intimate connection with one's wife, and that's the Achdus HaGuf. And when there is this Kasha Yesh Kan Chibur V'Achdus HaMishli, when you have this unification and oneness with one's wife by marital intimacy, as a nefesh yichida miyusheva seitzal HaGuf, then that highest level of soul, yichida, becomes settled in the body. But then he explains that because on Yom Kippur we're trying to separate the soul and body, that is why Tashon Shamita is Asur on Yom Kippur. So it's very, very important that overall, though, Hashem wants that connection of the neshama, the feeling of the neshama within the body, and using this relationship properly, with the exception of Yom Kippur, with the exception of the times where the Nida period, other periods where you have a different Avodah, you know, Api Kabbalah, say the night, and so on and so forth, where there's a different type of a yichud going on, where there's an elevation of a soul type of a yichud, that's when Tashon Shamita is forbidden, like in the case of Yom Kippur, or discouraged, like in the case of certain days in Kabbalah, brought down in Kabbalah. But overall, when you have a healthy form of Tashon Shamita, where the couple's bodies unify, that does inspire the power of the neshama, the yechida, to enter the union and bring them to the highest state of chedva. So after this, he discusses the chet adam arishon and how it's pertaining to us. And the Sepharnai says that before the chet adas, it says they didn't have clothes v'leis by shashu, and they didn't feel embarrassed. And the Sepharnai explains, is on the pasuk there, in Bereishis, that all their actions and all their limbs were exclusively focused on doing the will of Hashem, not to achieve pleasure in and of itself. So the intimate union was like eating and drinking when was needed. Just like, so the Evarim of Tashon Shamita, the reproductive organs, had the same function as the mouth or the face or the hands, all the same. Now, to make it clear, it doesn't mean that there was no desire. We talked about it. When Adam Rishon ate before the Chetz Adas, before that, he did experience a certain level of, whether you could call it hunger, whether you could call it a cheshek to eat, or to see, you know, that he saw fruits that were the permitted ones, that he had a cheshek drawn towards it to eat. That happened before Chetz Adas too. Same thing also, when he saw his wife, sometimes it came upon him that desire to be with his wife physically, that happened before the Eitz Hadas. But again, it was in a way where it was not pleasure for its own sake. It was totally to do the will of the Creator. It was an intimacy that was pure. There the Yetzer Hara was really, literally, that honorary general. It was used to focus on this unity It's just later, when the Eitz Hadas came about, and the Nochash, which the Sipurnei talks about, is the Satan, is the Yetzer Hara, then a damage was done, even though we can't see the damage, because the way it works with a snake, it bites, you can't see the damage above the surface. Sometimes you do see swelling, whatever it is, but the case may be, it's very limited the way you see it, but it causes a tremendous amount of damage, sometimes even death. That is why the Yetzer is called a Nachash. It looks like that the damage is not apparent on the surface, but the damage is very great. That is the idea. Because why? Because the Yetzer Hara uses imagination. It uses falsehood to entice man to embrace that path of pure physicality. So before the Eitz Hadas, and the Ramchal talks about it, and Derech Hashem and Das Tfunais, the negativity was more outside the man. It was easier to reject it. But once the Adam ate from the Chetz Eitz Hadas, that destructive force of the Nachash came within the man's inner self. So it was definitely much more difficult now to overcome that. The Zeparnei continues and says that. What happens is the Yetzer Hara, after the Chetz Eitz Hadas, used the power of imagination that sends a man into this imaginary physical pleasure aspects and draws them away from what Hashem designed it to be. And that is a very important insight. So the snake's power, the Nachash, the Yetzer Hara, is based solely on imagination, on falsehood, these images of physical delights into a person's heart. And true pleasure is none of these things that the Yetzer Hara promises. So the Sparta explains that the choice to actualize one's intellect using one's seichel, that Hashem gives them to overcome the Yetzer Hara by using his free will, that is how you see through the sheker of the Yetzer Hara. Then you realize you're playing with just monopoly money, with an empty bank account. So imagination, Rav Tzadik HaKohen talks about how imagination, dimyon, could be used for Kedusha, but unfortunately, very often it's used in the negative way. Antoninus, he was having a debate with Rebbe, and when does the Yetzer come into the body? Rebbe said from the time of conception, and Antoninus, and he had a valid point. The Gemara brings down that this point is valid, however they paskin, but he says, how could it be? If the Yetzer Hara would arrive in conception, it would have kicked itself out of the womb right away. And there's a lot of truth to Antoninus' words. In today's society, this is the way it is. People have this such Yetzer Hara, they can't handle things. They just kick their way out. Men no longer satisfied with women, so they need to turn to other men. Sometimes they even turn to animals. Is there anything wrong with a woman? No, of course not. But it's a dimyon, it's a Yetzer Hara that causes one to go there. And again, not judging. There's obviously situations where a person does have that disposition towards attraction towards the same gender. Not judging anyone for that. But one has to know that the natural scheme of things is the normal, healthy way, and to aspire to that. But the bottom line is, though, is when the Yetzer Hara seeps into one's marriage, it leads to corruption, leads after empty fantasies, and that is the dynamics of an unhealthy imagination. Is imagination all bad? Of course not. Of course not. It could be used for Kedusha. Every person has a seed of greatness that wants to yearn to reach their potential. And that imagination allows that hidden potential to come out and find expression. Like Rav Aaron had a vision of Lakewood having a whole Olam HaTorah with koils and yeshivas. People, when America was desolate, they had that vision. The Panovich of Jerov had a vision of yeshivas and Beis Yaakovs and Eretz Yisrael all over. Rapam had a vision of Shuvu. It was a seed in the mind. At that point, it wasn't reality yet. That's using imagination in an actual way, in a beautiful way, and it becomes reality very often if you have all the time, Messiah and Isai. But we also have that dimyon on the flip side. We have this dimyon, the false, unhealthy imagination of pleasures associated with negative fantasies that are entirely false, and that's what we have to get away from. In addition, there is this aspect of imaginary pleasure of what Shlomo Melech says in Mishlei, Perek Tes, Pasuk Yitzayin, Mayim Genuvim Yintaku, stolen waters are sweet. The Malbim on that Pasuk says that even if he's not given sweet wine and meat, that's pleasurable. Sweet wine tastes good. Meat tastes good. So of course that's sweet. But even if he's giving, if he was given in exchange water and bread, but we're told it's stolen or it's forbidden, it will feel to him sweeter than wine. Because it's not in your jurisdiction, you were warned not to take it. So this sin of doing it secretly with theft, something that's forbidden, gives a person a tremendous amount of pleasure. That's the human nature of it. And we have to fight that. The Gemara Kedushin says, Yitzri shal adam eschadish ala b'chol yoyim, that the Yetzer Hara constantly renews itself every single day. Like it says, rak rak kol hayoyim. Continues always to try to trap him. But then he says, El Molei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Oizai, the Gemara says, if it wouldn't be for Hashem helping him, Eine Yacholai. And he won't be able to defeat him. He can't overcome his Yetzer Hara. Shenema Alekim Yazvena B'yadei. Hashem won't abandon him, it's in his hands. But without Hashem's help, we're toast. We can't fight the Yetzer Hara. That's why we have to incur and be Mavakish Hashem's help to help us with it. Tzatzileini Me'yetzer Hara. Even though we have an intellect. But the power of evil is great that it could overcome man if it wouldn't be for Hashem's help. So that is a real key. Constantly asking for Hashem to help you with everything. So what do we do? How do we handle healthy, proper intimacy that brings Shekhinah into one's life? That's living the straight path and not the path of immorality. To recognize the Toiv Ma'id. That's a Yetzer Hara that is good. And then there's a Yetzer Hara that's bad, that's a cancerous infection that will entice a man to leave their path of goodness. So how do you know which one's the straight path that won't lead you on the wrong path to the imaginary enticements of the snake? We learn from the Ravid. When one feels a need for intimacy, it is better to direct that desire in a positive way with one's wife than allow him to be led into sin. There is a Gemara in Sanhedrin. Aver katan yesh ba'adam asbi'a rav maria sava. There's a small organ, referring to the sexual organ of a male, that if you satisfy it, masbi'a, if you satisfy it, you indulge in it, rav, it will become even more hungry. Mariva, if you starve it, meaning you hold back, sava, it'll be satisfied when you actually have relations. So the Chazal here is telling you that if one's desires causes the desire to get bigger, and the more you involve in it, the more hungry it gets. Which seems to be the opposite of what the Ravid's teaching us here. The Ravid's saying that if you have a desire, find a positive expression when the need arises with your wife. So how do you answer that, Stira? The answer is simple. There's two types of hunger. And there's two types of expressions of the Yetzer Hara. When the Yetzer Hara entered the Adam Harishon after the Chet Eitz Hadas, it produced needs based on just imagination and falsehood. So Chazal tell us to be careful with that. Feeding falsehood is a power that can grow stronger, and one has to be careful. And there is where the Gemara says, this small organ, if you allow it to do what it wants, it'll make it even more hungry and hungrier. On the other hand, man's physical body includes a normal, healthy, natural desire that Hashem placed in the essence of a person. And according to Hashem's desire, that the sexual expression should be had. And the Ravid says that if this nature produces real intimacy and a real need for intimacy, you're allowed to, and it is not only allowed, it is proper, healthy, to express that need in a positive way. In other words, real needs of the body can be used for the proper intimacy which strengthens a couple's unity. Unhealthy is when you are indulging, if you don't have Shmir Seinayim. But if a person has Shmir Seinayim, and he fights his Yetzer Hara constantly, and he's loyal to his wife to the best of his ability, and he wants to unify with his wife in this way and channel all the sexual desires and cheshek with this towards his wife and no one else, and that is his real desire, and that's his real intent, then this becomes a special, special bracha. Then this hadracha brings you to highest levels. So you embrace that straight path. You use bechira to distinguish between what reality is and what imagination is. And imagination to differentiate what's snake imagination, destructive imagination, and what's healthy to just become closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we'll be mamshich b'ez Hashem in the upcoming shir. But the bottom line is that this concept is very, very important to know how to handle the Yetzer Hara, to apply it in the right way, And to recognize that we can use that fourth intention, that the Rishus intention, L'shem Shamayim, that will enhance marriages and bring the Shechina into our homes. Bracha v'atzlacha.